Welcome to the Federal Communications Commission's Consumer Center. Our normal hours of operation are from 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, excluding holidays. If you are calling from a touch-tone phone, certain information is available to you through our automated response system. For service in Spanish, please press 1. Se habla español del prima el número uno.
Welcome to Radio Freak America, Episode 3, Episode Trace for the FCC, that genius Spanish. I could give a Norwegian 5 minutes and a menu from a Mexican food restaurant and get better Spanish. Took a week off last week, and Rax and Condor are taking another week off. Actually, I know they're really busy. I'm just doing this show by myself tonight, middle of the night. Got a little DJ Icy, the official DJ of OldSchoolFreak.com in the background. Get his older stuff, by the way, like Selection, Generate's the best. All the new stuff, he's a puppet of Time Warner. Now, since Condor and Rax are gone, I'm going to talk about whatever I want to talk about. They talk about intelligent stuff that really matters. I'm going to talk about, like, the news, you know. They'll probably talk about the LibZ vulnerability and Skate's trial. And nah, I'm going to talk about news that I think is cool. And some of it might be a little old, you know, so we took a week off. I want to start out, actually all this stuff segues by itself, it's really nice. I want to start out with a story of Security Focus, and it's titled MP3 Files Not Always Safe. And basically it talks about real audio files and Windows Media Player files, Windows Media, and how you can embed, you yourself can embed for $19.95, hyperlinks and JavaScript in these media files and then simply rename them .mp3s, and no one will know the better. No one will know that there might be a vulnerability that it might launch a browser when you play this media file in these players, Real Player or Windows Media Player. Of course, if you use Winamp, which I do, it won't work. And I've got I took the demonstration file from this story and put it on oldschoolfreak.com in the file of the day section. So check it out. Use a couple of different media players and see what happens. Next, I want to talk about... Where is it here? You know what? I saw something... I want to talk about MP3 steganography. And I got this off the Screensavers. And it's actually a command line program called MP3 Stego, I believe. and you make your text file, it's all command line, all from the DOS prompt, make your text file in the same directory as that program, and then run the program, and it'll, actually, I think you have to start with a wave and your text file, run it, it'll integrate the text file into the wave and convert it to an MP3, and you've got an MP3, and then you can decode it with the same program. I think that's awesome. Plus, I like command line stuff. You know what, if you like command line stuff, you know, I'm sure there's lots of Windows users out there. I know everybody uses Linux, but still, I bet you got a Windows box. And use that command line more often. It's pretty powerful, and it's kind of fun. If you want some good command line utilities, go to xfocus.org, and they got some really cool stuff there. The next story, now this is off Wired. This is the coolest right here. This is, Have iPod Will Secretly Bootleg. Even the title's cool. Some kid in Dallas strolled into a CompUSA with his iPod, rolled up to a G4, plugged it in with 1394, that's FireWire for you and me, and started downloading. Apparently when you plug it in, it automatically puts an iPod icon on the desktop, and I know very little about Macs, but apparently installation of programs, you just drag and drop files from CDs to the hard drive. So he's got his little iPod icon on the desktop. All he had to do was grab the OS X folder and drop it right on that iPod icon and started downloading at FireWire speeds. I guess some schmo saw him and tried to tell CompUSA about it. I guess they let him go. So I guess hackers down in Dallas carry heat or something. But the kid got away, which is cool. I think that's awesome. I think if they leave it open like that and he's got the technology, if he can walk up and do it, shit, more power to him. You know, I actually don't usually have many nice things to say about CompUSA employees. Actually, some are very knowledgeable and helpful. I should be truthful. But I met one recently at a CompUSA who was lead hacksaw. His name's Zapron, and we started, of course, I'm looking at Linux, and I was looking at BSD. By the way, that free BSD went up the box set, Of course, you can download for free, but, it's nice to have the books and 10 CDs. It went up like $20. I can't believe it. Anyways, he was telling me about OS X, and I knew it was built on BSD or the mock kernel, whatever. And he said, let's go check it out. So we scrolled over, and I fired it up. We got a shell. First of all, the GUI is beautiful. You think KDE is beautiful. This is just, it's gorgeous. The icons, I don't know what they call the docking bar or whatever they call it at the bottom. It's just beautiful. I mean, if you can make, real transparent title bars and windows, that would just be gorgeous. And I guess it was easy to use. I don't like that, press the whole mouse down for the button thing. I don't like it. Give me two or three buttons, I don't even use a scroll wheel, but I don't like that whole the mouse is a button thing. So then he fired up a shell, and it was just like Linux. It was typing commands, finding stuff, grabbing for stuff. It was great. I mean, it's the best of both worlds. And not to mention, I guess it's super powerful and you can do lots of high-end multimedia stuff with it. I don't do high-end anything. Actually, you know what? I've been dying to tell all you listeners this. I use a Pentium 133. I got this from an electronic surplus, this dilapidated old machine, and I rebuilt it. And that's what this show is recorded on. That's what the whole website has been created on. Not to mention, I've created the website and the show all with free software, and actually I think some of it's open source. I'm using First Page 2000 by Eversoft to create the website. Great program. That's not open source, I know that. And for the show, I'm using Audacity, and I do believe that's open source, and it uses a lame codec to convert to MP3s. Actually, I don't use that. It doesn't compress it enough. I use DB PowerAmp, and that's free. I don't think it's open source. So check it out. A Pentium 133 and free software. And, I'm making a website and a radio show. And I got to say, all the other, please, I think I mentioned this in the last show. All you hackers, all you freaks out there, anybody who's just sick of the media and sick of having stuff shoved down your throat, sick of being told to obey and sleep and consume, be the media. Consume different media and then be the media yourself. I can't stand TV. I can't stand radio. So I'd listen to Off the Hook. I'd listen to Rant Radio. I'd listen to Hackermind. You know what? They inspired me. And now I'm making my own show with the help of my friends and my own website. And it's great. I feel satisfied. I feel like I'm contributing. Even if one person listens to it, one person listens to one show, even part of a show, and laughs, smiles, learns something, I'm happy. Now, okay, I talked about Zafron and CompUSA. Yeah, it was great, busting out the Unish commands on this OS X box. Very fun. Not to mention it's stylish. You know, I don't know about that little the little round thing with that. LCD is cool, but the little round one, I don't know what that is. That's a bit much, you know, just a dome sitting on your desk. Like a big bug or something. Next, I want to talk about something I read on the HackerMind message board. A gentleman was having trouble getting his Lucent Wind modem to work on a Linux laptop. And, of course, the best advice came from Dash and Screamer, you know, hey, forget trying to get a Wind modem to work on Linux. It's just not worth the time. And they had great advice, you know, get an external modem, you know, and that'll work with anything. Work with a laptop. All you need to do is connect to the serial port, get your serial port running, TTYS0, and you'll be fine. I want to go a little more in depth about that. I've actually had, now I'm not an expert, you know, I can't write my own Linux drivers, but you know, I've worked with lots of different distributions on lots of different kinds of laptops, and been dialing up for a long time. You know, well, let me list a few. Like I've got a Pentium 2 laptop, had it for years and years. Came with 98 first edition. And it was actually a hot rod when I got it. It was brand new. And then, of course, you know, you get curious. I tried Red Hat, of course, and Mandrake on my desktop, but then I said, you know what, I want to get something on this. And this was when Corel, I think, first came out with their Linux distribution. They promised the world. So I tried it on it, and it installed, but nothing worked. I couldn't get any peripherals to work either. And then, of course, I went to the Red Hat, and that just... You know what? I don't know why everybody says Red Hat's the best, and oh, Red Hat this and Red Hat certification. I have had the worst luck with Red Hat. It's just nothing works. Let's see, Corel Red Hat. I think I tried Caldera. That didn't work very well. Regardless, this is on my laptop. Eventually, I heard of a German company. I think it was around 7.0. Actually, on 6.3, I got a free disk, but I heard of a company called SUSE, and I tried their distribution on my laptop, and son of a gun, if it didn't go on without a hitch, it worked beautifully. It found my Ethernet, it set up my Ethernet card perfectly, PCM CIA modem worked perfectly, you know. Onboard sound didn't work, and I looked for all the modules for onboard sound and the modem, but everything else worked beautifully. I was totally satisfied. It was gorgeous. I love KDE. So I can't pimp SUSE enough. Eventually, I got to 7.2. Very powerful. You know, it can be simple, you know, for people who use the YAS2 interface, but it can be very powerful. If you have a laptop with the power, get 7.3. That's really gorgeous. So, again, I can't pimp SUSE enough. Now, hold on, where is it? Oh, man, I just had it. Aha! Okay, you know what? If you look at, if you go look at some PCM CIA modem boxes, some of them actually say support for Linux. You know, I'm sure it's just a standard PCM CIA modem module, and it actually says on the box, will work under Linux. I think the Zoom modem actually says Linux on the box. That uses a dongle, though. I actually use a Zircom, and it's cool. It takes up two slots, unfortunately, but it's all integrated. You can actually get the integrated Ethernet and modem card. That's really nice, but they're just cool. They're gray with, like, this orange, and you throw that in, fire up your Linux laptop, and, you know, use Minicom and dial up a BBS for all I care. I like BBSs, actually. They're kind of fun still. So, you know, and I've tried, and like I said, I've tried lots of distributions. I'm not saying I'm an expert, but for lots of friends, I've tried HP, I've tried Dell, compact laptops, and I've tried lots of different distributions, numerous numerous types of Red Hat from 5 Up. I've tried, like I said, I've tried Red Hat, Corel, lots, and I've always been happy with SUSE. It's worked on most every laptop. Of course, it's not going to work on the, you know, the real proprietary stuff, you know, the integrated sound. Sound's always a problem. But if you want to get your peripherals to work and you want a good, stable, friendly install, I say go with SUSE. Now, you know what? Oh, wait, before I do that, before I make any phone calls, I want to talk about, you know, I heard on Off the Hook, Emmanuel went to one of those big clubs, not Price Club, now it's Costco, I think it was Sam's Club. Yeah, it's the only two. And he talked about phone cards for 3.7 cents a minute, and I couldn't believe it, and I finally went to a Sam's Club this weekend, and sure enough, they had them. You have to buy like 15 cards, but still, 3.7 cents a minute, that's phenomenal price. I didn't actually pick any up. I didn't have enough money to buy the 15 cards. But on another trip, I actually got a friend took me to a PX, the post exchange on some base somewhere, and I got cards for 6.9 cents. That's pretty good. Walmart prices, I'm going through my phone cards. I want to talk about that. And Walmart, they got not so good deals. But here's the best one. I went to some, don't ask me why, I went to like some redneck show. I think it was like Redneck International. No, it was like Sportsman International something or other. It was terrifying. They had cool gun games, though. But there was a guy there from the IRL, the Indy Racing League, and they had an IRL car there, which was kind of cool. But they were handing out, they had stacks of 30-minute WorldCom phone cards, stacks of them, and they were handing them out like candy. And, of course, I went up and grabbed one, had my buddy go grab one. And that's the best price, baby. 30 minutes for nothing. Finally, we talked about Slingshot prepaid internet access. You can now get Slingshot prepaid internet cards at convenience stores, at least in major metropolitan cities. I finally picked mine up at Fry's Electronics, Fry's is God, and I had to put Windows 98 back on my laptop. Oh, man, you know what? I forgot to tell you guys. I've also tried Solaris for x86 on my laptop, and it just screwed up royally. Nothing worked. The video didn't even work. It was horrible. It took me like 3 different boot disks just to get it back to normal to get anything else back on it. So skip Solaris for x86 on laptops. Just stick to your nice generic hardware, okay? Stick to your desktops. What was I talking about? Slingshot. Oh, yeah. So I finally got Windows 98 back in my machine, and I haven't tried it yet, but I think there was an article in 2600 about hacking free ISPs with WinDump. I'm going to try something like that. Get Slingshot running, try to sniff everything, and see if it uses chat authentication, whatever, and then try to set it up in Linux, and then use Slingshot for Linux. If I get that working, that's my next project. That or hacking GameWorks. Condor has this big project. He wants to hack GameWorks, see how their network works. Maybe I'll talk about that in the show. But if one of these projects gets out, I'll get it on the show or write an article about it. But using Slingshot on Linux, that'd be a great article. You know what? I am going to talk about that. Maybe I should wait for Condor. Well, I'll talk about the first stuff. I know he's going to be doing quote, research as we speak. So I'll go ahead and give the listeners, guys and gals, the listeners, the lowdown on what GameWorks is right now. You go to GameWorks. Everybody knows GameWorks, right? Started in Seattle, I believe. Started by Sega and I think some guy from Microsoft. Huge arcade for adults. They have bar. They got pool tables. Sometimes live music. A blast. Go. Drop 20 bones and have a good time. So you go to GameWorks, and they give you your card, and it's got a little magnetic strip, a little strip on there, probably just one track. So the machine, and then you stick it in the machine. I'm sure all arcades are like this now. You stick it in the machine. It says how much is on your card, and it subtracts how much the game is, and says how much your card has now, and spits it back out to you. And hopefully you grab it and don't forget it's for some little kid to play games all night. So is it reading and writing to the card? I mean, it's only got one little, probably one track on that magnetic strip, You know what? We found out, we assumed from what we've, gleaned from employees that it doesn't do that. what it does, and you'll know, you got to look, you know, look in, you look in the ceiling, and you'll see, you know, cable trays all over the place, with tons and tons of cable. I don't know if it's Cat 3, Cat 5, or what, but it's all over the place. And you'll look, and you'll see RJ45 ports, like quad jacks, all over the place, too. You'll find vacant ones on columns, on walls. So we're trying to, well, we're putting two and two together. We're, you know, interrogating employees. And what we've determined is that the cards are actually basically just an address to the amount of money that that card holds on their server. An employee said that they're running like a P2 in the back, and it's handling all these cards that are going into the game. So all the games are all networked to this one computer, and you know, we're assuming this is true. And then all it does, when they give you your card, you get the amount, they get the address of the card, and they put the amount in the computer, and it's related to that address on the card. So when you put your card in, it says, okay, I've got a card 16, and it goes to the computer, looks at the amount that card 16 has, said, oh, it's got $20, this game is a dollar, subtracts that dollar, says $19, so now it associates $19 with card 16 that's in your hand. We want to know, and he said it's not Ethernet, this employee that we talked to, he's actually a really nice guy, he said it's not Ethernet, but they do have RJ45 jacks, and he said it all runs on a P2, so this is like very little data, and I'm sure it's not encrypted. Condor's going to he's going to basically hook up a laptop and try to sniff the traffic. He's going to see what he can do. So as soon as we find out about Slingshot, and as soon as we find out about GameWorks, we're going to let you, the listeners, know. Now I'm going to go ahead and make some phone calls. I don't know how long I've been talking, but I've been having a great time already. Now let's see. I got to get this crap out of the way. I need a bigger lab. All right. First, I'm going to call. Let's call our old buddies at the FCC. All right. Actually, I got to turn down Icy now. Hold on here. Okay. FCC TTY number, and it's busy. So we've got great Spanish on one phone number, and we get a busy signal on the other. You know what? I'm glad they are protecting the electromagnetic spectrum for me. All right, next. I want to call. You know what? I hope I can remember this. I just want to see how far I can get with this phone number. Okay, let me see if I can remember it.
To place a call, thank you for using AT&T.
Thank you for calling Overhead Door Corporation, the industry's leading manufacturer of automatic garage door systems. To be connected with your nearest overhead door distributor, please enter your telephone number beginning with area code now.
I'm going to enter Satan's area code 666.
That telephone number still is not recognized. In a moment, you'll be connected with Overhead Door Corporation's customer service.
Can't wait. Here they come. Doubt they're 24 hours.
Thank you for calling Overhead Door Corporation. Our office hours are 7:45 a.m. to 4:45 p.m.
You may replay this greeting from the beginning or skip to the end. To replay, push 7. To skip to the end, push 2.
Thank you for calling.
You may replay this greeting from the beginning. Thank you for calling.
Oh. It's still, that was pretty fun. All right, now, I've been calling lots of CoCots. I've been here to talk about CoCots on HackerMine. Great show. Everybody listen to it. It's, when is it? It's actually, it inspired me. It inspired this show. Let's see. I found a different type of CoCot. I've been calling lots, checking them out. And you know you get ones, of course you can get the regular modem tones, and then you can wait and then get the cost of the call. You can get, of course you can dial them up with Hyperterminal, you can dial them up with Minicom. I got about the same results of both. But I found some just lately that will just say a woman's voice, just say thank you, and then some touch tones. And I don't know what the touch tones are, maybe the last four digits of the phone number. But, I found another one that... you dial up, you get the modem, and you hit touch tones, and it'll basically kind of like reset it, it'll start it over, and then eventually I would dial a number, and then it would play back like the first three DTMF tones. That was really cool. So I'm going to call one that says thank you right now. I call this the thank you CoCot. That and try to play it back to the phone and see what happens. Dial three numbers and then let those four roll. You know what? I've had so much fun already, I'm just going to go ahead and stop the show. I know it's a little short, it's a little abbreviated, but you know, Condor and Rax aren't here, and that's like 7/8 of the intelligence of this show, so, you know, I'm having so much fun doing this, and that's what matters, and I hope that people have fun listening to it. I hope you learn something, or I hope it at least inspires you to go out and try new things, or it maybe gives you a new idea and gives you that little jump start you need for another project. So you know what? I hope we can come back to you, the listeners, and give you information about Slingshot and Linux and GameWorks. GameWorks actually really excites me. Condor got me into that one, and I'm going to be helping as much as I can. Again, thank you for listening to Radio Freak America. You can find us at http://oldschoolfreak.com, oldschoolfreak.com. We'll try to be there every Wednesday night, a full hour. If not, hey, we'll do the best we can. And keep listening. Be the media.
It's your bamboo compute. It's more than good compute.